bold faith, the cry for justice. So I'm just going to give a bit of an overview of the cry for justice. And really, it starts with a question, which is, what causes a person to possess bold faith? And there are three things that I think help us to understand the answer to that question. The first is an encounter with the risen Jesus. And so Paul mentioned Peter, the disciple, before. And if you think about Peter's life, in the verse Paul read, Peter has faith. And so when Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So Peter has faith, but Peter isn't bold. When Jesus is arrested, he denies having anything to do with Jesus when a servant girl asks him. And so kind of as Peter's journey goes on, he has faith, but he's not bold. But then something happens, which is that Peter has an encounter with the risen Jesus. And it's interesting what happens when that comes. And so the disciples are out fishing. This is from John 21. And Jesus appears to them. And Jesus tells them where to fish. And in verse 7 it says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. So Peter has this moment where he starts out with faith, but not boldness. And then he encounters the risen Jesus. And so he's filled with this boldness in response. Okay, in that moment, maybe foolishness also. He just jumped into water. But Jesus channels that as we see the story go. In Acts 1, Peter, along with all the disciples, receives the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, you see Peter is the one who stands up in front of thousands of people and preaches the gospel. In Acts 3, Peter and John go and they heal a paralyzed man in the name of Jesus. And then in Acts 4, they're called before the Sanhedrin and asked, "Why are you doing this? And you better stop doing this. And you better stop talking about Jesus." And they answer. And it's really interesting. In Acts 4:13, we read there, it says, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." And so for Peter, his journey from being someone who had faith but not boldness went dramatically down a different path once he had an encounter with the risen Lord. And once Jesus ascended into heaven and sends the Holy Spirit, we see Peter is a totally different person. So, another couple of things that cause a person to possess bold faith, and these are kind of related. But secondly, is an encounter with the needs of others. It's interesting, when Jesus reinstated Peter after Peter had denied knowing him, Jesus says to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord." Jesus replies, "Feed my lambs." And that happens three times. And each time Jesus asks him, Peter answers and he says, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." And so Jesus is pointing Peter to his purpose. So the boldness that Jesus is giving Peter isn't just to help Peter in his own life. Jesus here is saying to Peter, "I have a purpose for you." The boldness, the power, the truth that I'm about to give you, that is not only for you, it's for others. You need to care for them. And also we see in Acts 2 that there are all these people, all these Jews come from all around the world into Jerusalem. And they don't yet know about Jesus. They haven't yet heard the good news. And so Peter is the one who brings it to them. And so not only do we need an encounter with the risen Jesus, we need an encounter with the needs of others. when we encounter the needs of others, it draws our boldness out and gives it an object where we're moved with compassion for someone else. But also, in order for it to be bold, there needs to be a risk. Something needs to be at stake. And so we also need an awareness of the opposition that will be encountered. Jesus, again here with Peter, after he said this, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then Jesus said to him, follow me. So it's bold because there's something at stake. Jesus had already warned Peter. Yes, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, feed my lambs, but know that you will be opposed. There will be a cost to your faith. And for Peter, the cost was his life. And so when we bring those three elements together, an encounter with the risen Jesus, an encounter with the needs of others, and an awareness of the opposition that will be encountered, that's where we find bold faith. It's interesting, after Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin and they're called to give an account, and we read from before how the Sanhedrin, the religious rulers, were amazed at the boldness of Peter and John. Well, they were released. Peter and John went back to all the other disciples and told them what happened there in Acts 4. And it's interesting. What do they pray for? It says all the believers gathered and they prayed in response to this opposition that Peter and John had experienced. And this was part of their prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And then the verse we have up there, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So that's a big part of what we need to be about this year. If we're going to be people who are pursuing bold faith, so not just a faith, not just a knowledge or an acknowledgement of who God is, but a faith that results in action, a faith that results in compassion for the people around us, that considers the cost, that considers the risk, that considers the potential opposition that come, the one thing we need to constantly be doing is praying that God would continue to fill us with His Holy Spirit. Because without His Holy Spirit, we can't have bold faith. Bold faith isn't something that we generate from within ourselves, out of our own intellect, out of our own willpower, out of our own decision-making. Bold faith is a cooperation and a submission and a seeking of God to work powerfully in our lives. So that is what needs to characterize everything we do this year. That it's not about our human effort, it's about our dependence on God. But if I pick up that question there, 2A, if part of having bold faith is encountering the needs of others, then it leads us to a question. How do we encounter the needs of others? I've got three potential answers here that might help us. The first is we need to learn to hear the cries of injustice. And we see there that God displayed that characteristic. When the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, God says, I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to set them free. And the psalmist in Psalm 10 says, you, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry. And that's a hard thing to do, right? We live in a world where there's a lot of suffering, a lot of injustice. And so one of the natural things that happens with us, really in order to survive and get by in life, is that we harden ourselves to the needs of those around us. We close up our ears, not really because we're bad people, but because we can't cope, or we think we can't cope. Or maybe sometimes it is a sinful choice to focus on our own needs and block out all those needs of others. But it can be overwhelming if we really open our ears to hear the suffering, the injustice around us. And in this series, these are the types of cries that we are going to work through. So next week, I'm going to look at another thing about the character of God. God is a warrior judge and a compassionate savior. And then we're going to start through on the 18th. We're going to look at the cry of the refugee. Got a guest preacher there, Mike Frost, who has come here to the church before. He's a lecturer at Moreland College. He's written many books, speaks around the place. He also, a couple of months ago, chained himself to the gate of the Prime Minister in protest about the treatment of the people seeking asylum. He's also hosted a sit-in in parliamentarians' offices and been escorted out by police, again, to highlight the mistreatment of people in the immigration detention centers. And so Mike Frost isn't just a theologian, someone who just knows the Bible. He's someone who is living this out. He's got skin in the game on behalf of the refugees. Then we're going to look at the cry of the poor, the cry of the abused, the cry of the lonely, the cry of the persecuted. And there we've got another guest speaker, Mike Gore, who's the CEO of Open Doors, an organization that exists to care for and support persecuted believers. And again, Mike Gore has skin in the game. He's not the kind of CEO who just sits in his office and sends emails and asks for money. He goes to Iraq, he goes to Afghanistan, he goes to the places where believers are being persecuted, and he supports them in person on the ground. And so we're going to hear from him about the cry of the persecuted. And then the cry of the lost, those who don't know Jesus. And then finally there, Easter Sunday, the cry of the Savior. And one of the beautiful things is that the cry of the Savior, the cry of Jesus on the cross, isn't like the other cries. The cry of the refugee, the cry of the poor, the abused, the lonely, the persecuted, the lost, those are cries for justice. Crying out in a situation of injustice, saying, where will justice come from? The cry of the Savior, the cry of Jesus on the cross, is the cry that brings justice. When Jesus cried out, it is finished. When he deals with the sin problem that is at the root of all the injustice, all the suffering that we deal with in our world. And so that's where we're headed with this Cry for Justice series. And I know that's going to be hard. It's going to be heavy, right? If we actually intentionally choose to hear these cries. And so, part two, how we encounter the needs of others, is that not only do we need to learn to hear, we need to learn to hope. There's a verse from Ecclesiastes. And he writes, "Again I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead who have already died are happier than the living who are still alive. But better than both is the one who has never been born, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun." They're the words of someone who has heard and seen the cries of injustice, but has no hope. Who's overwhelmed by them, feels hopeless to do anything about them. But we read, we know that God is the one who brings us hope. God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. In 1 John, he writes, "To believe as you, dear children, are from God and have overcome all those who oppose God, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." So as we go through this series, not only are we going to hear the cries, but we're going to learn how to have hope as we hear them. That we search the Bible, that we seek out God and say, "God, how do we not be overwhelmed by all this? How do we have hope? How do we believe that things can be different?" And the third one is that we need to learn to help those who are suffering from injustice. There's a story in Luke 18. It's a parable, maybe familiar to you. Jesus said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" God is the one who doesn't just hear the cries of suffering and injustice. He doesn't just have hope in the midst of suffering and injustice. God is the one who actively helps. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And when we remember the character of God, when we remember what Jesus did out of his compassion for the people around him, then these words from John 14 are shocking. "Very truly I tell you," Jesus said, "whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." That's our vision. That's what we're pursuing. That as we seek a faith that is bold, that results in action, that we will see in our community and through this community even greater things than the things we read about in the Bible. That God's Spirit will fill us so much and will be so dependent on Him and so seeking Him in prayer and so broken as we encounter the suffering of those around us, that when we step out in faith, we'll see miraculous things. We'll see people who are healed. We'll see relationships restored. We'll see lives transformed. Not out of our effort, but out of our obedience, out of our willingness to say to God, "God, I'll do what you ask me to do. We will do what you ask us to do." In a moment, the band are going to come up and we're going to finish in worship. But before we do that, I want you to think. You've heard from Paul about where this bold faith comes from. Jesus' model of invitation and challenge, and the example of Martin Luther, "Here I stand, I can do no other." And as you've heard about where we're headed with the cry for justice, as you know just by being a human who is alive, the needs all around us, and to have a sense of what we need to do to step in and be people who can do something about those, I want you to take a moment just to think and pray. And say, "God, even now, at the beginning of this journey that's ahead of us, God, is there something that you are calling me to? Is there a bold faith goal that you want to put in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit, that I can work towards faithfully, prayerfully, over the course of this year?" So take a moment. Pray, seek God. Ben, if you could come up. I do want to encourage you, if God does speak something specific to you, write it down. For most of you, put it in notes in your phone. Keep some record of it so you don't forget it. God, would you speak? We acknowledge your presence here with us. We're thankful, Lord, that you guide us, that you go before us, that you make many promises to us, that when we put our trust in you, we'll never be disappointed, that the Spirit that you give to everyone who believes in you is greater, is more powerful than anything that exists in the world. And even for that promise of Jesus, Lord, which seems so incredible, so impossible, that we could do the same things that Jesus did and even greater things, because Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father and he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to do the works prepared for us to do. God, help us. Help us not to be overwhelmed. Help us not to be caught up in our own needs, issues, wants. Give us courage, Lord, to encounter the needs of others, to hear the cries, to have hope in the midst of the pain, and to help bring healing, bring transformation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're good, that you know each one of us, that you don't put us in situations that are beyond our ability to bear, but that you give us what we need. And we're going to need a lot this year. So fill us, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.